Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, August 22, 2019. We'll start with a story titled District 118 Starts Strategic Plan Process. This is written by Carol Roem in Danville. The members of a steering committee were announced Wednesday night who will guide Danville District 118 through the process of creating a new strategic plan. This fall, District 118 will begin community engagement on a new strategic plan, Board President Bill Dobbles said. We will be gathering input from parents, teachers, administrators, and staff. The steering committee will consist of former District 118 superintendents David Fields and Mark Denman and former State Senator Judy Myers. Special study sessions will begin in September. The board last approved a five-year strategic plan in 2011. That strategic plan set goals for the district from 2011 to 2016. During a discussion of the seven-day enrollment figures later in the meeting, board member Lon Henderson suggested redistricting might be considered when developing the new strategic plan due to the disparity in student enrollments at similarly sized school buildings, such as 301 students at Meade Park Elementary versus 207 at Liberty Elementary School. This year's seven-day enrollment district-wide was 4,983 compared with last year's figure of 4,926. Also on Wednesday, board members heard the district will receive a $341,000 grant that it will be used to operate three full-day preschool classrooms starting in September. 55 preschoolers will be served in two classes of 20 children and one class of 15. They also heard about how a new law will affect five, but possibly as many as seven, retired teachers who return to the classroom this school year and how they will be compensated. Last year, the state legislature, recognizing the burden of the national teacher shortage was placing on Illinois school districts, passed a law allowing retired certified staff to teach in the classroom for an entire school year rather than 120 days, which had been the prior limit. The law has now been extended to 2021. Human Resources Director Kim Papps told the board she will not have any retired teachers teaching for the entire school year. However, the new law does change the rate of pay a retired teacher receives, even if they teach for only 120 days or one semester. Papps said retired teachers who returned as long-term substitutes had been paid $232 a day. The new law stipulates that retired teachers, no matter how long they will be subbing, be paid their receptive step in line with the 2019-2020 pay schedule, which will add a couple hundred dollars a day to the retiree's pay. Papps said none of the retired teachers will teach past 120 days or one semester, because two new teachers already have been hired to take over classrooms in January, and the other retirees didn't want to work the entire school year. They also heard the Raptor Visitor Identification System will be installed at Danville High School and Northridge Middle School in the next couple of weeks. The system would be set to check the sex offender database. Visitors will relinquish their driver's license or state ID and be issued a temporary picture ID that denotes their destination in the school. They also heard there are 257 students in the district that still need to register for school, and another 100 students who are not in school yet because they are non-compliant due to not having had a physical exam or immunizations. Student registration is now by appointment only by calling Administrative Assistant and Board Secretary Lakeisha Robinson at 444-1059. Okay, the next story is titled Organist to Play Friday at St. James, and this is written by Christopher Moricle in Danville. A musician who comes from a household full of organ music will give a free recital at 7 p.m. Friday at St. James United Methodist Church. Stephen Buzzard will play several classical numbers, and his sister Catherine, a soprano, will be vocalist for a couple of selections. Buzzard is the son of John Paul Buzzard, who built the organ at St. James in 1987. It was one of the first five or six he built. The Danville Church is marking the 100th anniversary of its congregation, and the church reached out to the Elder Buzzard. John Paul said he doesn't play that much anymore, said St. James music director Mark Lavallee. But he said, my son still plays. So we have booked him to come in and give an organ concert on the organ that was built by his dad. Lidvall said he doesn't believe Stephen has performed in Danville, as he would only have been 1 or 2 years old at the most when the instrument was built. Buzzard conducts the Cathedral Choir in Chicago and plays the organ for worship services and recitals. In 2017, he founded the St. James Cathedral Choir School, a chorister program for boys and girls in 3rd through 8th grades. He came to St. James from St. Thomas Church, 5th Avenue in New York City, where he served as assistant organist until the untimely passing of their director of music, John Scott, in 2015. He holds degrees in organ performance from Westminster Choir College and the Yale Institute of Sacred Music, where his teachers included Ken Cohen, Thomas Murray, Jeffrey Brillhart, and Bruce Neswick. Between degree programs, he spent a year in England as a senior organ scholar of Wells Cathedral, where he accompanied and conducted in daily services and assisted in the training of the boy and girls choirs. Choristers. His father, John Paul, is the president and founder of Buzzard Pipe Organ Builders, and his mother is the organist choir master at the Chapel of St. John the Divine in Champaign. In addition to his church work, Stephen keeps a busy solo recital schedule. He's recording In Light or Darkness, available through Delos Records, has received wide critical acclaim. A reviewer for the Diaspan wrote, Buzzard paints the color and shape of every phrase with a maturity belying his youthfulness. If this level of skill doesn't dazzle you, then I don't know what will. Catherine Buzzard, his sister, has performed a wide range of repertoire. Her concert history includes Mahler's Fourth Symphony, Brahms' Ein Deutsches Requiem, Handel's Messiah, Bach's Magnificent, and a number of Bach cantatas. Catherine received her Master of Music in Vocal Performance from the Royal College of Music in London and her Bachelor of Arts from Princeton University. She studies with Cynthia Heyman Coleman in Champaign-Urbana. We'll have the doors open at 6 p.m. or a little after, and people can come in and enjoy some organ music, Lidvall said. Okay, the next story is called Carl Plans New Medical Campus, and this is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville, and there's a picture of a rendering of the proposed Carl Medical Campus. There have been a lot of health care changes locally in the past couple of years, and Carl representatives on Wednesday announced another large change expected to come at the end of 2021. The development is still contingent on property availability, zoning, and state approval of a certificate of need. Carl plans to consolidate its North Vermilion and Fairchild Street facilities and ambulance service on Franklin Street into a new Carl Danville Medical Campus located west of the downtown area from Logan Avenue on the west, and which part of the street is proposed to be closed just north of North Street for the campus to span both sides of Logan Avenue, Robeson Street to the west, North Street on the south, and Madison Street to the north. The estimated up to $50 million development will better accommodate patients in Danville, Vermilion County, and surrounding communities, Carl officials said on Wednesday. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., during a Wednesday press conference at the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building, attended by Carl and local representatives, including aldermen, city staff, and local construction and union representatives, said it was hard for him to keep this secret because I live literally across the street on Madison Street from this development. He said neighbors would ask about it and say they've heard it is this or that and try to guess what it was. He said they finally got the right company, but not the right iteration. We are very excited that Carl has decided to build a great development here in our community, Williams said. Williams said, it's going to clean up a blighted neighborhood and give hope to the adjacent neighborhoods. He said, this and the Fisher Theater also are two things that are going to help revitalize the downtown. He said he's also excited about the jobs. He said, although this is a consolidation, there will be new jobs. Carl representatives said they will be recruiting more providers. However, they said new jobs haven't been identified yet. Carl has about 200 local employees and sees about 45,000 annual patient visits, according to Vermilion Advantage President and CEO Vicky Haugen. Williams and Carl representatives said the development will overlook Ellsworth Park and take advantage of the natural resources. This project ties into the redevelopment that will be completed at Ellsworth Park, Williams said. He said oncology patients could look into Ellsworth Park and the river. This is an exciting project. We're very excited about this endeavor, said Caleb Miller, Carl's Senior Vice President, Primary Care and Specialty Care Services. It was 2 years ago they started talking about what does a medical campus look like in Danville. The proposed project and redevelopment area is continuing to evolve, Miller said. This is a large area to get redeveloped, he said. He said the development proposal spans about 17 acres, consolidating Carle facilities at 311 West Fairchild Street and 2300 North Vermilion Street. At all primary care, preventative, and specialty care services, which will continue to grow, will be on one medical campus, he said. The proposed development will expand outpatient services into a single multi-purpose campus that features primary, surgical, and specialty care. A likely two-level building is planned to span Logan Avenue north of Riverview Pediatrics. Access also will remain for the Dwight Allen Salon across the pediatrician's office. Another site that won't be impacted is the Vermilion County Museum at 116 North Gilbert Street. Carl is to incorporate the facility into campus design. Williams said Leon's Diner also won't be impacted. It is a happy day, Haugen said. Haugen said healthcare is a key cornerstone for Danville and Vermilion County. This is a major turning point for our community to continue to grow that, she said. It is a game changer for the center part of the city. Haugen said the development will improve an entry corridor into the city with a high-tech, state-of-the-art facility. She said the project reinforces taking the time for economic development, and it's expected to trickle down into the other economic growth. Haugen said five sites for the campus were looked at. Miller said that this site was selected in part by looking at space for services in multiple buildings, traffic patterns, exposure, bus line, and other aspects. The number of buildings to be constructed still is in development, with Miller saying, for example, the surgical center will be a separate section. Future development could head east, but with businesses on Gilbert remaining. This made sense, Miller said, about the campus location. Williams said the city already owned about 15 vacant lots for the land and about 66 parcels needed. About 30 to 40 demolitions of structures will be needed, he said. Williams said officials called the project clean slate and demolitions could start as early as around December and the end of the year. In addition to some residents needing to be relocated, Nick Crompton, Carle Executive Director, Facilities Planning and Construction, said they are still working with business sites that may be impacted. Miller said their jobs as a healthcare company is to be good partner and neighbor. We believe this project is an opportunity to benefit the Danville community and all those we serve. As always, we intend to be a good steward of the community's healthcare resources and provide more accessible services to those who need it, according to Miller. We appreciate the partnership with Vermilion Advantage, the Vermilion County Land Bank, the City of Danville, and Mayor Williams' support as we move through this process. Carl has been leasing the building on Fairchild Street since 2006. The lease will conclude and provide an opportunity to repurpose it for someone else. The facility on Vermilion Street would be available for sale, and Carl Aero Ambulance Services will relocate to the new campus. Miller said they don't want to leave vacant buildings in the community. Other health care changes in the past 2 years have included OSF Ergo and an urgent care clinic for people on the go, which opened last month on North Vermilion Street. Danville Polyclinic became a part of OSF Healthcare in April of 2019. Earlier this year, it was announced Carl's Danville on Vermilion Clinic and Ambulatory Surgery Center was to expand its outpatient surgical services. Carl officials stated because Danville area residents need additional outpatient surgical services close to home, Carl in July of 2018 gained state approval to add surgical services to its roster. While urology services are in place now, Carl looks to phase in other new outpatient services in Danville to meet patients' needs in the next few years. We will share information as staffing and service details take shape. The project was to add equipment and services to the existing space on North Vermilion Street, officials stated. Carl Danville on Fairchild also expanded its local Convenient Care Plus in 2018. It also was 2018 when Danville's hospital changed names again. OSF Healthcare acquired Presence United Samaritans Medical Center, which became OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries. Mary Frances Kane Sumilla passed away peacefully Tuesday, August 20th, 2019, at her home in Cincinnati, Ohio, originally from Danville. George H. Road and Funeral Home of Cincinnati is serving the family. Mass of Christian burial will be at St. Xavier Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. A graveside service will be at 1 p.m. Friday, August 23rd at Resurrection Catholic Cemetery in Danville. Mary will be laid to rest next to her husband, Leonard, the love of her life. Darla Louise Ritter, 56, of Danville, passed away with family by her side on Tuesday, July 30th. Services are being handled at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Glenn D. Archer Savoy, formerly of Allerton, passed away Monday, August 12, 2019, at University Rehab Center in Urbana. Visitation will take place 10 a.m. to noon. Sorry, just lost it. 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, August 24th, at the Joins Funeral Home at 401 Gilligley Street in Newman, with a memorial service following. Masonic funeral rites will be given at Pleasant Ridge Cemetery, northeast of Newman, following the memorial service. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be given to Shriners Children's Hospital of Chicago. Max Reed Anderson, 70, of Danville, passed away August 17th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center. Funeral mass will be at St. Paul's Catholic Church at noon on Thursday, August 22nd, with a two-hour visitation prior to Mass. Per his wishes, cremation rites have been accorded. Dolores Bay Payne Rainwater, 79, of Rossville, passed away with her family by her side at 6 a.m. on Tuesday, August 13th, at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. Private services will be held. Burial in Locust Grove Cemetery in Locust Grove, Indiana. The Robeson Chapel in Catlin is handling the services. And Renee Trussell, 73, of Mount Zion, died Saturday, August 17th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Memorial services will be at 1 p.m. August 31st at Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, 125 South Shores Drive in Decatur. Rortweird Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Okay, the next story is titled Sunrise Rotary Club School Gets Buddy Bench in Danville. Some Danville students will soon have a place to go if they need a friend or someone to talk to during the school day. Members of the Danville Sunrise Rotary Club dropped off a buddy bench at Meade Park Elementary School on Wednesday. and they plan to deliver a bench to all elementary schools in the district except Edison, which already has one. Eventually, the club plans to place a sign with the Rotary insignia and Buddy bench on all of them. If someone is in the play is on the playground and is alone, they can sit on the bench, said Rotarian Judy Story. The idea is that the other children will go over and sit down with him or invite him to play. Hopefully that will be the beginning of a new friendship, she continued, adding it's a simple way to eliminate loneliness and foster kindness and inclusion. Story said the idea came from other clubs in their district, including the Champaign West Rotary Club, which donated benches to several elementary schools in their community last year. Meade Park Principal Chris Rice said he was grateful for the gift. He plans to place his schools inside the K-4 building, which has an open classroom floor plan. For the last couple of years, when kids need a break or time out, we pair them with older students who mentor them, Rice said. It gives the kids a reset so they can return to the classroom. This will be a good place for them to do that. In addition to the benches, the Danville Sunrise Club also plans to donate 60 black backpacks, 800 boxes of Kleenexes, and 1,000 pencils to students at Garfield Elementary early Wednesday morning, said member Chuck Casper. The club has given backpacks and other school supplies to the school the past few years. And there's a picture from left of Meade Park Elementary School third graders Neve Schroeder and Kane Moore try out the school's new buddy bench with Principal Chris Rice on Wednesday. The bench was a gift from the Danville Sunrise Rotary Club, which is donating buddy benches to all Danville elementary schools. Looks like kind of a slow news day, so here's an article in the paper titled Group Brings Hunting to Veterans, written by Kennedy Nolan at the Decatur Herald and Review in Decatur. Iraq War veteran Brian Miller served in the United States Air Force and was skeptical about veteran groups. He said many left a bad taste in his mouth and he felt they were only in it for the money. Miller's friend was part of a veteran group and kept asking him to join. Miller, who lives in Clinton, finally decided to go on a deer hunting trip with the organization HUA, Deer Hunt for Heroes. After leaving on Thursday, he expected this to be a one-and-done trip, he said. Miller didn't get back home until Sunday. I had been around less than an hour and realized they're legit, Miller said. HUA is an organization designed for veterans to enjoy the outdoors, building a support system, and enjoy camaraderie. Many of the activities take place in central and southern Illinois. Founder Tom Huffington of McLean started the organization 7 or 8 years ago alongside co-founder Matt Grandin as a way to give back to the wounded soldiers. Tom Gaither and Jeff Gaither also got involved as board members. Hunting and fishing are just a small portion of the organization, Huffington said. Sometimes veterans are in a dark place, and a program can give them a way to come decompress. Some of the men and women who participate have come from transitional units at Fort Knox and Fort Campbell. He said the volunteers never ask about their situation and never have them share their stories. As time goes on, they may open up to a friend in the program, but nothing is forced. Huffington said all costs are covered for applicants who get selected. This includes airfare, lodging, equipment, and anything in between. Miller was in the Air Force, deployed in 2007, and arrived back in 2011. He said he didn't feel the effects of leaving the service until he was away from other veterans. During his encounter with HUA, he found that the volunteers cared from the bottom of their hearts. They're in it for all the right reasons, Miller said. All hunts are fully guided, Huffington said. A lot of the participants have never hunted or fished, so it's a whole new experience for them. About 600 veterans have been through the program since it started, he said, whether that means they've attended a one-day event or a weekend trip. All veterans are eligible to apply without restrictions, he said. The worst part is choosing who goes and who doesn't go because they all deserve it, he said. That's the tough part. The organization has had veterans of Vietnam, Desert Storm, Afghanistan, and Iraq. For some veterans who love outdoor activities but have injuries affecting the time they can spend outside, it's disheartening, he said. Hua has some of the best adaptive equipment, such as action track chairs and fishing poles that reel themselves in, which will help veterans who may be paralyzed or missing a limb. When reviewing applications, the board members don't look at injuries. They look to see who can benefit from the hump most, Huffington said. Hua also looks for veterans who would be good mentors as well. Many groups and places for veterans to hang out may involve alcohol, but Hua is an alcohol-free, positive environment for veterans to find a release through outdoor activities, Miller said. By day two or three of these trips, you'd think we were lifelong friends, Miller said. The organization also allows for veterans to bring their spouses to designated couples trips. When we're deployed, they're left to take care of everything, Miller said. We come back, maybe not in one piece, physically or mentally. And there's a picture in this November 14, 2014 photo. Joshua Cordova of Naperville receives help setting up his crossbow at the Hoo-Ha Deer Hunt for Heroes program at Funk's Grove, Illinois. The Hoo-Ha Deer Hunt for Heroes programs works to provide wounded veterans with opportunities they may have experienced in the military, but are now applicable to civilian life. Okay, now we'll run through some community briefs. In Danville, the library plans a movie. Marvel's first film based on female superhero may have come out in 2018, but it takes place in the 1990s. Strap in while Carol Danvers and Goose take you for the ride of your life. This marvelous movie, Monday's film, will be shown at 5 p.m. on Monday in the first floor meeting room at the Danville Public Library. And in Georgetown, food available. Georgetown Township is accepting donations of vegetables and fruit from 8 to 2 p.m. daily. The produce is given away from 9 to 10:30 on Tuesdays at the Township Building at 1805 North Main Street. And in Hoopston, Elvis Tribute Set, Lorraine Theater at 324 East Main Street presents Doug Church Elvis Tribute Artist with Change of Habit Tribute Band at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets will be $28 in advance and or $30 at the door. There will be no reserved seating. A dinner begins at 5 p.m. at the United Methodist Church across the street. A free will collection will be accepted. Tickets may be purchased at thelorrainetheater.com, at Mr. B's, at Treasured Roots, City Hall, and Hoopston DACC, or by contacting a Save the Lorraine Theater board member. And in Rossville, meeting today, Rossville Community Organization will host the gathering at 1 p.m. today at the fire station. All people are welcome. And then there's a few meetings here on the calendar. The Danville Area Community College Board meets at 5:30 p.m. today in the boardroom, room 302 in Vermilion Hall at DACC. And in events, Danville, there's a Summer Sound Free concert from 5 to 9 p.m. at Temple Plaza downtown featuring Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. And in, let's see, Smart Recovery of Danville is from 1 to 2:30 at the ACES building at 119 North Vermilion Street. And Saturday from 9 to 1 is Music and Market at Danville Public Library at 319 North Vermilion Street. And the Danville's Farmers Market is from 8 to noon at Crossroads Church on Saturday at 3613 North Vermilion Street. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, August 22nd, 2019. Hope finally getting a little rain. Hope it's good for the farmers. Hopefully nobody got any big damage or anything and everybody's okay. Anyway, I hope you all have a good week and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.